To SER's Arts and Culture Show.
Don't make me say so hot right now.
Your weekly dose of arts and culture.
And all of that sort of stuff.
It's that weird thing that they're classics because they're classics because they're classics, and then they become the classics and everyone wants to do the classics because they're classics.
He's amazing.
Well, you need a lot of room for all that blood.
And he's hot as a firecracker.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes.
On 2SER 107.3.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to So Hot Right Now. My name is Nicole Beck, and I'm here to provide you with your weekly dose of arts and culture, as I do every Saturday morning from 11 till 12. But before we get started, I would like to acknowledge the Gadigal people, who are the traditional custodians of this land from which we are broadcasting. I would also like to pay my respect to elders past, present, and emerging of the Eora Nation, sovereignty never ceded. And in usual So Hot Right Now fashion, we have a hectic show planned. I'll have the pleasure of speaking with curator Talia Smith, who is no stranger to the show, and together we'll be talking about the latest exhibition she's working on, which is showing at Peacock Gallery, entitled Speak Softly, Tread Heavily, which has a great lineup of emerging artists from all around Sydney, so there's lots to discuss there. Looking forward to hang out with Talia a little bit later on. I'll also be zooming in on Bondi Feast, which occurs over 10 nights with 40 performances and over 200 artists. So I'll have the pleasure of chatting with Phil Spencer, who is a co-curator of the feast, and we'll together talk about the program and things happening more generally. And then after that, I'll also get stuck into one of the shows, which is Overreacting, a period drama, and over is spelled O-V-A-R-I-A-C-T-I-N-G. So it's an excellent pun. I'll be speaking with the performance artist who is behind that cabaret. That's coming up a little bit later as well. But first up on the show, we are talking about Splinter Magic Festival. This is a two-day celebration of improvised exploratory music, which is taking over Tempe Jets this July. I'll be speaking to some of the people behind the unique festival just after this track, which will get us a little bit warmed up for the hour to come. This is a new one out of Melbourne. This is Sui Gen with Perfect Place. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now. Good morning, everyone.
Laying in the garden, I think of an old friend. How did it take so long to come back here again? You think it will be endless time, that you can put it off till later, but time doesn't stop, it won't give up, it goes on and on. Things you can't put off, do it now, do it now. I got myself an idea to call someone. Shall we take a drive to chase the sun? I got the perfect place.
Quiet.
The perfect place.
Gentle.
You don't bring a thing. Setting out for the perfect place. The perfect place.
I
just can't explain it.
I just can't explain it.
It does something to me.
I
just can't explain it.
I just can't explain it.
It does something to me. Setting out. Hidden behind the shelves, lying in the dark.
West Festival returns to Casula Powerhouse this winter school holidays. The festival is a five-day celebration of creativity for kids and their families. Everything from live performances, interactive installations, incredible outdoor adventures and wondrous workshops to jam-packed days of art making, dance, food, film and more. It all happens at Casula Powerhouse Arts Centre from July 10 to 14. Head to wayoutwestfestival.com.au or Google WOW Festival for all the details. 2SER sponsors.
Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now. That there was a track from Sui Zen, Perfect Place, which just came out a few days ago. And so right now I'm talking about Splinter Orchestra, which presents Splinter Magic, a winter festival celebrating and showcasing the best of Sydney's improvised electroacoustic music. Over 2 days, audiences will be presented with a diverse range of performances, splint installations, home-cooked meals and heaps more. So Splinter Orchestra, who are behind the festival, are a large-scale electroacoustic improvising ensemble made up of 20-plus members from experimental, jazz, electronic and classical scenes. So here to tell us a little bit more about everything that's going on are two splinters themselves, Solly Prank and Reese Mattelli. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry for butchering your names there.
No, that's right.
can you start by telling us a little bit more about the Splinter Orchestra and how you kind of came into fruition?
Whoa. Okay.
It's a big question, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Splinter Orchestra's been around for like nearly 20 years, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. But it started off with two members, Claire Cooper and Clayton Thomas, and they got together and it's had lots of different members throughout the times. But it's just a large, as you said, improvising orchestra, and we get together every Sunday and full of improvisers and other experimental artists, and yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I joined 2 years ago. 2 years ago, yeah. And it's sort of, it's interesting watching how people come and go and people move overseas and then come back. And so it's this sort of amorphous thing that is growing and
yes.
and then shrinking and then growing and
people
are coming and going. So it's a sort of ever-evolving aesthetic as well.
So obviously you're both musicians. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you guys play individually?
Yeah. Well, I'm originally a clarinetist, but I guess Splinter brings out all the weirdest parts of any instrument, and so I kind of have appendages I add to the clarinet. I also play with all sorts of like a little electronic things as well. So that's me. What about you, Reese?
I'm a trained guitarist, but I still play some guitar things, and I use preparations, which is like putting weird things like metal objects through the strings, or I use, you know, cello bows or lots of strange stuff. And I also play woodwind instruments, so also clarinet or similar things. Yeah.
So the orchestra sounds like an amazing network. To what extent do you think being a part of it has influenced your practice as musicians? It sounds like a kind of large degree for you, Solly, but
I guess it's as much a kind of social ecosystem as a musical ecosystem. And so the people I've met through Splinter have really informed my way of making art.
Mm.
Meeting people of all sorts of ages and backgrounds, because I guess I come from a more like classical background, but a lot of people come from no musical background
or a
musical background that is not traditional at all.
Mm.
And so it's really expanded my notions of music and what it can be.
Yeah.
And certainly, yeah, and on a kind of deeply aesthetic level as well, because you've got 20 people or more than 20 people improvising at once, it's a lot about sensitivity and playing in a way that facilitates other people also playing, not trampling on anyone's toes musically. So that's kind of a nice philosophy to take into it, but also maybe a philosophy you can leave behind when you're not playing with Splinter. So yeah.
It sounds like, to someone who's not a musician, a logistical nightmare. I'm like, I cannot imagine. But yeah, I love that idea of sensitivity informing how you play together. So onto the festival, broadly speaking, what kind of can audiences expect? Because it's a huge lineup occurring over a couple of days. Can you maybe talk me through your curatorial focus in getting together these artists, what your intentions there?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the musicians in this are also a part of Splinter or were a part of it, or there's also people who aren't a part of Splinter but in the Sydney improvising experimental scene and who are just all friends of ours anyway. But essentially, like, we started off, we just wanted to put on a nice festival where we would play anyway, and then kind of went from there. It was a few of us curating it.
I think it's also to do with the space itself as well, Tempe Jets.
Yeah, I'm really interested in what that is.
I think that was the kind of the seed for the idea, wasn't it? That someone said, why don't you do a festival here?
Yeah.
There's gigs on every few weeks there, but the idea of doing a festival was something new. And so we want to use the whole space, this whole abandoned sports club.
Can you describe the location in a little bit more detail?
So if you know Tempe, it's kind of the ungentrified part of the inner west.
Yeah, definitely.
And Tempe Jets definitely feels like that. It's an old sports club that was abandoned and then was destined for the Bulldozers originally. But Brand X, who's an arts organization, they stepped in and said, why don't we turn this into a rehearsal space / art space? When was that? 2014, I think.
Yeah. Something like that.
And so it's this abandoned sports club that has now been turned into an art space, and it's still a little bit dilapidated, but it's got a lot of character.
Yeah, it's really nice.
On your event photo for the festival, there's, it's like a screenshot of, I think, maybe probably like Google Maps or something.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, and it kind of, like, so is there a road, or I'm trying to describe it to listeners, there's like a photo and there's like the snaking kind of road and then like a little arrow being like,
it's pretty, it can be a bit discreet. But it's just off the main highway. What is that? Princess Highway. Princess Highway.
But is there like a track or something inside? No. Does it just look like... Do you know what I mean?
That's the... there's these
a
little,
racetrack.
There's every few weeks... Well, I don't know how often they do it, but there's these guys who come here with remote control cars.
Oh, yeah.
And they go...
They're actually on our other poster.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
We may have used them. Sorry, guys.
So, like, as you mentioned, you kind of wanted to incorporate the location as much as part of the festival. So how exactly have you done that? Or your intentions in doing that?
Well, I mean, we've got these splinstallations, which are kind of, I guess, mechanized versions of us. And so they're like self-sounding apparatuses, and they will be spread throughout the venue. But also performances will take place all across the venue, like outdoors. There's a big field outside. It's full of weeds. Sorry, I'm not really painting a very nice picture of this place.
It sounds magical.
It's wonderful.
And so it's like we've kind of been trying to activate all parts of the venue.
I'm interested a little bit. Can you perhaps give me a little more detail on who made the splinstallations? And so they function on their own?
Just different members of the... orchestra are making our own, so they're just essentially sound installations, so they could be just I don't know, beeping things or
I think like, there's a lot of like kinetic type sculptures, things like that spin with instruments on there that are then hit, the instruments hit other things, and they're kind of creating this like endless loop of similar but never the same sounds.
Great. And so there's obviously a lot going on. There's a huge community at the root of this whole festival. How are you hoping audiences respond to the lineup, and what are you hoping they kind of get out of attending Splinter Magic?
I hope they like it.
It's a good place to start.
I don't know. What do you?
Well, I feel like it's as much about the music as the community itself. The thing about the experimental music scene is the people who go to the gigs are the musicians themselves, like other musicians from the same scene. And so I guess it's about celebrating the scene that exists.
Are you hoping to kind of reach people outside of the scene as well?
Well, hopefully. That's what we're kind of trying to do.
I guess that's the challenge, I guess that's what, you know, creating a festival is good for, as opposed to just your weekly Splinter Orchestra thing. So would you encourage people like me who aren't musical to... get involved? Because as you mentioned, in the orchestra, that there's not everyone's musicians, right?
Exactly, yeah. No, please, come along.
Okay.
There's lots of good, like, music that would be crowd participatory. I can't pronounce that word.
It's a hard one.
Yeah, but then there's also lots of different types of things and interesting things to watch besides just the music as well, that everyone can get into, or it might not be too intense, or you know.
Yeah, it's a pretty varied lineup. Yeah. It's not just kind of improvised experimental music. There's because the Splinter Orchestra straddles so many different scenes in terms of its members,
something for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The lineup does include things like the Prophets, who are this kind of, if you want to explain the Prophets, you're the Prophets.
It's quite theatrical.
Yeah.
I've seen quite they've spectacle. Got masks.
Yeah, wearing masks and playing also just DIY kind of instruments and stuff like that. But there's also dancing or other kind of theatrics to it as well. And
groovy. It's really
and very
groovy.
Dancey. Yeah.
Great. Well, it sounds like there is definitely something for everyone.
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining me on the show this morning. We'll see you all at Thanks. Splinter Magic.
Yay.
So that was Splinter Magic 2019. This is happening on the 13th and 14th of July at Tempe Jets. Tickets start at $10 and we'll put all the details up on how you can get them and where you can access the whole lineup. If you look for our show page on 2SER 107.3, just look for So Hot Right Now. Stay with us because up next we are talking about Bondi Feast with the lineup, talking all about the lineup with co-creator Phil Spencer. That's just around the corner. But to get us there, I'm going to play a track from one of the featured artists. This is Lo Flung with Ocean Groove. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
A new season of All Things Equal is returning to the airwaves.
I slept at my local golf club, and I remember the sprinklers came on that night. That wasn't fun, and yeah, it was really cold.
Listen to the new season of All Things Equal from July 14 on Sundays at 11:30 a.m. and Mondays at 6:30 p.m. on 2SER 107.3, or subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. Right there, you heard the track, a track from Lo Flung, who is featured on the lineup of Splinter Magic Festival, which is what I was just talking about with some of the people from the Splinter Orchestra. If you missed that last chat, you can find it on our show page if you look for So Hot Right Now on the 2SER website. But right now, I've got no time to waste, and I'm moving on to Bondi Feast. So we might be midway through winter, but Bondi is about to heat up with the inaugural pop-up festival Bondi Feast, set to kick off in mid-July. This year, a collection of amazing Australian and New Zealand performances are set to treat us to a theatrical, comedic and musical extravaganza with heaps of shows announced on the program. And this morning I am joined by one of the co-creators of Bondi Feast, Phil Spencer, on the line to tell us a little bit more about what we can expect on the lineup. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Good morning. Very well. Thank you.
So when and how did Bondi Feast all start? Like, what sets this festival apart from previous years?
Well, this is the seventh time we've done Bondi Feast, and I suppose every time we are doing it, we are looking for the best comedians and performers and cabaret artists around this year right now. So Rachel and I, who run the festival together, kind of have a great job, which is we get to spend the rest of the year going to Melbourne Comedy Festival, Adelaide Cabaret Festival, Adelaide Fringe, Perth Fringe, and we sort of trot around the country and tap people on the shoulder and try and convince them to come to the beach in winter. That's our main job, really. So this year I think we've gathered a pretty excellent group of human beings, to be honest.
Yeah, so Bondi is not what comes to mind when you think of winter, as you kind of alluded to there. But it does look like one of the cozy places to be in July with this mini festival on. So can you tell me why Bondi?
Winter's probably the only time I go to Bondi. I mean, I'm originally from the UK, so many of my fellow Brits are there all year round. But Rachel and I I think we're always up for a challenge. And I think the idea of being down there in winter, it's the best time of year to be there. Like, there's heaps of locals still around. And you know, maybe more than half of our audience kind of get on a bus or a train or drive to Bondi to be part of the festival and come and see something. And so our job is to turn the Bondi Pav and its surrounds into a kind of festival hub. And so every year we have a festival garden out the back where we've got a circus tent and free shows. And this year we've got fire pits for the first time because we had a very long conversation with someone and they said we could do it. So we're excited about that. We really try and kind of, make it a bit of a kind of delight. And you can come down and see a bunch of stuff in one night. And if you have fun, you can come back or tell your friends about it.
Fire pits are a great draw card.
Yeah, totally. Mulled wine and fire pits. I mean, even if you don't come to a show, there's that on offer.
So featured on the lineup, it's absolutely huge. There's over 200 artists. Can you give us a little bit of maybe your highlights, even though I know that's a really difficult question, but bit of a highlight reel?
Look, we've got 42 shows. So, like, really, we've tried to program something for everyone's taste. We've got circus and cabaret and comedy. But I suppose we really relish on sort of programming alternative theatre and, maybe like weird comedy and things that are maybe a bit between the kind of lines. And I was just thinking about this morning about one of the shows I'm most excited about. It's probably one of the smaller shows, but it's by a comedian called Alex Reynolds. And she's got a show called I Have Something, in which the basic premise is that she wholeheartedly believes the more you listen to the Whitney Houston song, I Have Nothing, the better it gets. And so the show is her listening to that song on repeat for an hour.
Wow.
But there's more going on than that, but it's just such a brilliant premise for a show.
That is.
And it's really amazing. And we're going to be doing that in the gallery space downstairs. So it's off the wall and pretty wild. And the whole point, I think, that we try and put Bondi Feast together is we try and make the tickets 15, 20, 25 and 30 bucks. So we really try and make it accessible, and hopefully there's something in the program that you can come and take a punt on.
That show sounds absolutely exceptional.
Yeah, it's going to be brilliant.
Yeah, and that's kind of, on the lineup of a lot of other non-traditional performances. One of my favourites on the lineup is Betty Grumble, the eco-sex clown performer, who I've seen before and absolutely love. Can you tell us a little bit more about other unexpected alternative theatre things?
Yeah, I think if that's your kind of bag, we've got Dazza and Keith are coming up from Melbourne, who are two drag king queer performance art makers who've got these great drag king characters called Dazza and Keith, and it's about them trying to go viral. And it's queer subversive comedy where kind of Zoe Kunzma and co pick up things, but then they're also mean breakdancers. So that one's going to be pretty amazing. And then in terms of like bigger shows, we've got a fake Eurovision Song Contest, which I now think no festival is complete without a big, camp, fun, silly, fake Eurovision Song Contest. So there's a crowd for that in Australia in a big way.
And just to finish off, is there anything that you kind of wanted to spotlight in Sydney through this festival? I know there's a big emphasis on alternative theatre making, but was there any kind of particular driving intention in curating the program?
I suppose every year the driving intention is to make it a celebration of, like, those independent artists who are around this country making work on the, like, you know, under their own steam and for their own money. And but, you know, we've got a really, really healthy fringe scene in Australia, like, between the sort of four or five fringe festivals around, like, you get to see really, really good stuff that you wouldn't be able to see in any other context than coming to a little festival like ours. Like, these shows aren't going to go on at Sydney Theatre Company or the Belvoir or any of these places. You have to come check them out in a small, cramped room that's packed full of people you've never seen. And so that's part of the delight. Hopefully, you know, you can come and see somebody you've never heard of and leave, you know, very firmly knowing who they are.
It does all sound very, very delightful. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning, Phil.
No worries.
That there was Phil Spencer talking to us about Bondi Feast. It runs from the 9th until the 20th of July at Bondi Pavilion and the surrounding area, with tickets ranging from $15 to $35, so very accessible theatre for everyone to enjoy. So come down and enjoy a nice night out. And up next, we'll be hearing about one of the shows on the lineup, which is Overreacting, a period drama. This is a cabaret show dedicated to menstrual cycles and endometriosis. I'll be joined by Jamie Boyskin, the performance artist and frontwoman behind the show, just after the break. So we've got that to look forward to. But to get us there, here is a track from Jala. This is Junior Spirit. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now with myself, Nicole Beck. Just about half an hour of arts and culture to go, so stay with us.
Whisper my name in the arms of another. My love is a prison that lifts you up by your hair. I've been defeated every time I've tried to leave your tenderness. But if you can go and get better, go and get better, go and get better, go and get better, go and get better. Oh,
Hi, I'm Craig Donarski, Director of Casula Powerhouse Art Centre in Liverpool, and we've got so many things for you to be a part of this year. Entry to the centre is always free, and we're open 7 days, except for public holidays. Coming up in July, we have the Way Out West Festival for Young People. It's a 5-day event suitable for all children aged 10 to 15 years. This year, they take over the art centre as they share their stories and ideas about the world they live in. The WOW Festival believes that the arts should be by children as well as for children. So see wayoutwestfestival.com.au for the full program, including free and ticketed events.
Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now. This is 2SER's Arts and Culture Show with myself, Nicole Beck, from 11 a.m. till 12 p.m. every Saturday morning, talking to you about all things Sydney, all things art and all things culture. And right now I am talking about Overreacting, a period drama, which is not your typical cabaret. It's all about the struggles of the female body. The show aims to destigmatize the menstrual cycle and some of the problems that come with it through skits, songs, props, and some very, very bloody performance art. So I'm joined on the line right now by the performance artist behind the show. This is Jamie, who is the front woman. Good morning, Jamie Boyskin.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you? Thanks so much for joining us on the show this morning.
Thanks for having me.
So can we start with the inspiration behind the show? What kind of inspired you to create this cabaret and tell this story?
So it's largely inspired by my own journey with endometriosis and periods. I got diagnosed with endometriosis in November of 2016, had a surgery and then had a 35-day period afterwards. And if you want to know how hard it is to talk about periods, try doing it when you have a 35-day period. It's pretty much impossible. So I wrote the show based off the fact that I felt like I couldn't talk about it and I wanted everyone to feel comfortable about it. And I also found that a lot of people I know didn't really know what endometriosis was, especially women. And that's really concerning when it's an illness that affects 1 in 10 women. So I put the two together and it was largely inspired by my own uterus, who I have in the show. She's a character full on performing uterus. So that was the inspiration for the show.
So as you mentioned, a lot of people don't actually know what endometriosis is. Can you maybe give the listeners who are in that bracket of people an idea of what that entails?
Of course. So it's a reproductive condition, and basically it means that the lining similar to that of the uterus grows outside of the uterus. And what it does is that there's blood that can't leave the body, so it gets trapped and it can become scar tissue. And in some really extreme cases, it can actually join body parts together. So it can like become, I describe it like blue tack and chewing gum, and it sticks sometimes the bladder and bowels and uterus together. So it's a very painful condition that affects 1 in 10 women, as I mentioned, and it can give you lots of heavy, painful periods and a high chance of infertility in some cases and lots of pain and discomfort.
1 in 10 women is a huge, huge amount. Mm-hmm. So it's great mm-hmm. that you're telling this story. As you mentioned, it's very much related to your personal experience. Has performing your struggle kind of changed your relationship to your difficulties with endometriosis?
Yeah, I definitely feel like it's made it feel less isolated. I feel less alone in having the journey of going through it. Because the best part about doing the show is afterwards, when I get to speak to women and other people in the audience who tell me their own experiences, I get to hear about everyone's periods and uterus problems, which is like so great. So it's made me feel much more comfortable with it, more empowered with my body. And I think the best part is being able to discuss it openly with people who've been on the journey with me through the show.
And so now onto the show. It sounds like an absolute explosion of fun.
Yeah.
You've got, so can you just describe a few of the elements? There's a lot going on. Can you start with the band and who's kind of behind the songs? Because they've got a funny name, don't they?
Of course. So I am joined on stage by Thomas Bradford, who is my music director, but he's also my menstrual activist protege. So we go through the show together. He's trying to become a full-fledged menstrual activist, so he's trying to collect his badges throughout the show. We've then got my uterus, who has been outsourced. She is named after the diva drag queen Laganja Stranja from season 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race because she feels very attacked. So she's in there causing trouble for me. And then we have a tampon that basically is a superhero that comes to the rescue and helps kind of help calm down the uterus, but is also kind of in love with the uterus, and they get to sing songs where they're in love with each other while feeding each other strawberry jam and showing you what, you know, period clumps look like. So there's a lot happening.
Wow, I love the personification of all these different you know, everyday features of periods. So cabarets are obviously known for their flamboyant costuming, which is, I'm really interested to know how that kind of manifests in overreacting.
Of course. The people who play my uterus and my tampon are genius. They have made their own costumes. So the uterus costume is like a massive kind of jumper that has a uterus on it. The arms are the fallopian tubes. The hands are gloves that have pom-poms on it that are polycysts, which I have polycystic ovarian syndrome, which we talk about a bit. So each of the little pom-poms represents a cyst. And then you've got the endo lining is represented by feathers. And as the show kind of goes on, the bottom fray of it becomes a little bit more bloodier, and the uterus costume has a vagina as well intact. With the tampon costume, it's white, it's round shaped at the top like a tampon, and it's got a string coming out at the bottom, and I can't even do it justice at how hilarious it looks and how amazing it looks, because I even laughed at it the first time I saw it.
And so this is not the first time you've performed this show. I think it was performed in Melbourne. How did people respond to it then?
So we've done it two times before. We've performed it at the Melbourne Cabaret Festival and the Melbourne International Comedy Festival 2 months ago. And it's a really, really great experience. The audiences are really open to it. They really take it on board. And I have, as I mentioned before, lots of people come up to me and the rest of the cast and talk to us about their periods, their mother's periods, their friend's periods, their issues with uteruses. And they're really on board. It's really fun to go on the journey with people and having people still want to discuss it afterwards and still feel engaged with the show. It's a really special experience to be able to put on a show and have it so well received and so open to starting that conversation, which is exactly the point of the show.
Yeah, and this show is also pretty well timed considering the government's recent pledge to increase endometriosis awareness, education and research. So
yeah,
how do we keep spreading the awareness and continue to destigmatize the issue?
I think the best way is to keep talking about it. I really strongly advise that men and women, we all talk to people who have periods, and as well, periods are not just something that affects women. They affect, you know, transgender boys and men and non-gender binary people. Keep having that conversation, keep talking about it and making sure that whoever you're talking to about it doesn't feel uncomfortable about it. We can all learn about it and it is something that affects so many of us. It's not just isolated to the person who's having the period. It affects everyone. So it's definitely something I think we should keep talking about and keep sharing with each other. Otherwise, we live in silence and isolated experiences and that's detrimental.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning, Jamie.
Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. So that was Overreacting, a period drama, speaking to Jamie behind the show. This is happening as part of Bondi Festival on the 13th and 12th of July. You can grab tickets online and we'll put all the relevant links up on our website. If you just have a search for So Hot Right Now on the 2SER website, you'll find this audio and everything up there. And right now I'm going to play you a track off Rainbow Chan's new album, which I'm so, so excited about. This is Lull. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
Yeah. financial year ends tomorrow. To make that last-minute tax-deductible donation, head to 2ser.com/support today. 2SER, proudly independent for 40 years, thanks to our supporters.
Hello and welcome back to 2SER's Arts and Culture Show, So Hot Right Now. That track was absolutely incredible. That is off Rainbow Chan out of Sydney. Her new album just came out yesterday. It is called Pillar, and that was Lull off of that. Be sure to check that out. She's also playing a show at the Chippo coming up around the corner or so. And it is now 11:40 on your Saturday morning, which means I've only got time for about one more story left, and I will shortly be joined by curator Talia Smith, who will tell us a little bit more about the exhibition coming up at Peacock Galleries entitled Speak Softly and Tread Heavily. That is coming up very soon, so I'm just going to play another track while we wait it out. And stay with us. This is No Name with Bye Bye Baby. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now, and my name is Nicole Beck.
Interview interlude in that nude with my boo thing. Got the flu with the tea remedy for my boo thing. My baby needs some milk, honey. My baby needs some milk, honey. I swear he love me, my tummy almost got ready for bitty baby spaghetti and teddy bear in my window now. Golden child, always smile before you leave, don't look down. God will help you spread your wings. Baby needs some milk, honey. My baby needs some milk, honey. Why she said goodbye when baby dined at White Wall. Cigarettes over skyfall, riding this life, this my song. Don't ask me why she hesitated, almost waited, waiting room. Played it up in heaven soon, soon I will see the king. And he reminds me, some get presents before they even ready. I can see that she loves me, I know her heart is heavy. Telephonication nation, baby help me testify. Well, you know I hate goodbye, bye bye blue. Somebody let the yellow in. Bye bye blue, I'm gonna fall in love again. On a lonely road where happiness needs us. You my baby, you my baby. I'm your baby, I'm your baby. You my baby, you my baby. I'm your baby, I'm your baby. On a lonely road where happiness needs us. I'm gonna fall in love again. On a lonely road where happiness needs us. Nation, baby, help me testify. Ooh, you know I hate goodbyes. Bye bye blue. Somebody let the yellow in. Bye bye blue. I'm gonna fall in love again. On a lonely road where happiness needs us. You my baby, you my baby. I'm your baby, I'm your baby. You my baby, you my baby. I'm your baby, I'm your baby. On a lonely road where happiness needs us. I'm gonna fall in love again. On a lonely road where happiness needs us.
Making all my moves, I was trying to act so cool. Remember when I saw you singing with the band, and later by the blue moon when I first held your hand. Now I think I've lost my mind, and I think I've lost control. I've been shaking like a leaf, I've been losing so much sleep, don't remember getting old. Have to be bound to our fears.
the same. I wouldn't change a single thing about the past. In fact, I'd do it all again.
That there was a track from Moju Juju with Bound To off her album Native Tongue. You are tuned into So Hot right now, and it is 11:59 on your Saturday morning, which means just about 11 minutes to talk about Speak Softly, Tread Heavily, which is a group exhibition that brings together different perspectives and experiences of navigating culture, traditions, and languages within a multicultural society. How are cultures translated? How are cultures received? So I'm joined by the curator of Speak Softly, Tread Heavily, Talia Smith, who will help us unpack these questions a little bit further. Good morning, Talia.
Good morning.
How are you?
A little bit puffed, so sorry if I'm breathing heavily into the microphone.
That is absolutely fine. It, you know, kind of breeds enthusiasm, yeah. I think. So can we start with this, so like this beautiful, beautiful title, Speak Softly, Tread Heavily. What does it mean in the context of the exhibition?
I think, that's really from my experience as being a person from a diverse background and kind of feeling as though, you know that saying, to be seen but not heard? And I feel, I can't speak for everybody, but I feel that that has been a part of my experience. Being brown is occupying spaces, I sort of have to be the good brown person, which is quiet, not going to rock the boat, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And so I kind of wanted to allude to that, and by saying tread heavily was to be like, actually, no, leave your own mark. And if you don't agree with it, speak up, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's sort of where it came from.
Amazing. So this exhibition highlights our multicultural society and is all about bringing together different perspectives and experiences of navigating culture. Can you tell us more about some of these experiences and how they've manifested through the works you're showcasing?
Yeah, totally. We have two artists in particular that are looking inwards at the family and how their experiences, have changed who they are. So Katayon Javan from Melbourne is originally from Iran, and she immigrated to Australia, in the 80s, I believe. And so she uses archival family photos as well as her own, where she goes back and forth between Iran and Australia and kind of documents how, her experiences of past and present and how they all kind of mold together. Because when she goes back, it's very different to what she experienced when she was a child because of what she's been experiencing here in Australia. So she sees Iran through, different eyes now from being spending a lot of her adult life, at least, in Australia. And then there's also Naomi Siegel, who I think has been on here before.
Yeah, Naomi. I love Naomi's work.
Yes.
Yeah.
She creates really beautiful multimedia sort of installations that include photos and drawings and objects that speak to the love of her, that she experiences from her grandparents. They kind of communicate through, you know, gestures, objects and food rather than necessarily language, because I believe that Naomi doesn't know at least all of, doesn't have a great handle on the Chinese that her grandparents speak. So it's kind of their way of communicating, which is really beautiful.
Yeah, her work is very soft and touching, which I really like. And I think another artist featured on the kind of lineup of artists, Linda Sock, her work is also just very beautiful and soft. And can you tell me what she's presenting?
Yeah, this one's actually quite deceiving in that when you look at it, it is really beautiful and you kind of don't really know necessarily the story behind it. But some of the artists look at, I guess, ongoing trauma as well, whether it's within the country that they're from or their ancestors are from, or within sort of a colonized country like Australia. And Linda is looking at the country where she's from, her ancestors. And so it's really, really beautiful, made of these things called Joss paper, I believe. Yeah, but they're it's actually a really sad story about the Khmer Rouge and all of the bodies in Cambodia that are still there that haven't been, or the remains, that haven't been cremated, which is a predominantly Buddhist society. So they're really wanting that to happen, but the officials or government or whatever doesn't want to, and they don't really want to acknowledge it. So they're all kind of stacked in these insane structures called stupas, which is what the work is called. So they just remain there in this weird limbo. So she uses joss paper, as that's like a ceremonial burning material, as to kind of, I guess, symbolise the ongoing trauma and represent those kind of lives and bodies that are still there to this day. It's really powerful.
Yeah, she's an amazing artist.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's one of many amazing artists on this lineup. What kind of drew you to the people you've chosen to showcase?
I think I chose all of them. Like, I've been fans of, you know, all of their work, of course. But I think mainly was that I felt that they were all not afraid to really go deep and kind of have some confronting work. And I really admired that in a lot of their works. You know, I'm also an artist, and I think it's taken me a long time to get sort of get to that point. But they've been really strong in that, and I really admire that. And I think, you know, there's places for all types of art, but I think this show really needed people that were strong in what they were showing and what they're making.
Yeah, that definitely ties into the whole concept of treading heavily and being brave with your ideas, which is awesome. And, you know, I know that Linda's work is an installation. Mm-hmm. What kind of other mediums are present?
Yeah, there's some photography. We've even got a cyanotype, which is an alternative photographic process. There's a couple of other installations and fabric works, like by Nadia Hernandez. A really cool installation, ceramic work by Mojgan Habibi. Katayon's done photographs. And there's a video, which is also super confronting, by Maureena Benini, who's an Indigenous woman in Melbourne. And that work uses found footage from YouTube of non-Indigenous people co-opting Indigenous culture. So talking about, you know, how to play a didgeridoo or something like that.
Wow.
Or, yeah, it's
confronting,
throughout YouTube. Yeah.
So throughout she really, YouTube?
Yeah. So she really turns the kind of gaze back on the viewer and asks us to perhaps question our own complicity in the continuation of stereotypes of that First Nations Australians have to live every day. So it's really, yeah, I'm excited about the show.
Yeah, well, it's crossing a whole, you know, all over the world pretty much. Mm. And so, like, Speaking Softly and Tread Heavily comments on how we translate cultures and highlights the urgency of understanding different culture perspectives to move forward as a society. So in working on this exhibition, I was just interested in what you discovered about this kind of process and in your curatorial kind of process. Yeah,
yeah, I think just the breadth and depth of work and artists from all different backgrounds that we have here. Like, not only are we just a multicultural society, but that's also coming out in the work that is being made, and that's like super exciting. And I think we don't really see enough of it, and I know there's many, many reasons why, but you know, I think that smaller spaces like Peacock Gallery in Auburn are places that you can have these kinds of shows and have maybe some of these artists who are a bit more emerging show their work, because it's just as exciting as so much that's getting the praise that's already out there.
I'm interested in, you know, you particularly singled out Peacock Gallery. Why is that a space that's kind of more open to emerging
Yeah, I mean, full disclosure, I work there.
Oh, okay. that explains a lot.
but I also, since I started there, I think a big, I've been there for a year and a half or so, and a big part of me starting there and sort of seeing the lay of the land was that it's a rare opportunity for artists to get to show somewhere that also has, that pays you.
Yes.
Which we do. We're a council gallery. Not many spaces in Sydney are able to do that. Yeah. And I think also we're such a rich area. So I speak in the essay for the show that Cumberland Council, which is the LGA that I'm in, we work in, it's 65 or so percent have English as a second language, which is huge when you think about the population of the area. And also I believe that Cumberland, I don't know the exact wording here, so I'm kind of like, I believe, is the largest resettlement area for new migrants and refugees in New South Wales, hence the 65.6% or whatever it is. So it's also just a great opportunity to really engage with these kind of themes and concepts and migration and all of those sorts of ideas. So I think it's an exciting spot, and it's great to be experimental, great to have money.
yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
well, it sounds incredible. Thank you so much for talking to us all about it on the show this morning.
Thank you.
So that was Speak Softly, Tread Heavily, which opens at Peacock Gallery in Auburn next Saturday on the 6th of July and is showing until the 28th. And it's totally free, so be sure to get yourself there. And that is about all we have time for on the show today. Thank you so much for sticking with me throughout this hour. Up next is Playback, which is the latest in music all across the country. And if you missed anything on our show, please head to our show page if you look for So Hot Right Now on the 2SER website. And I'll see you all next week. Thanks so much for hanging out.